Pittsburgh.
Everyone who practices yoga will tell you sometimes they accidentally fart. Well, if you're bending and stretching and twisting yourself and engaging your core.
Yeah.
squeezing out some
right. gas. Right. You can expect a little toot now and then. Well, not only is it normal, it's good for you.
If you fart in yoga class, you should probably apologize, right?
No.
No, they should make you feel better by giving you a little chocolate or something.
Here's a gold star for the
day.
We're
not rewarding that behavior.
Judy farted. Here you go, sweetie.
You are really relaxed.
Chocolate. I know you're embarrassed, but...
Class, pardon me for being rude. It was not me. It was my food. It just popped up to say hello, and now it's gone back down below. Namaste.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
3 minutes after six at DVE, here's Channel 11 Severe Weather.
Severe Weather Center 11.
It is 45 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Moon Township's Robert Morris University is expanding opportunities for veterans pursuing undergrad degrees. The university used the occasion of Veteran Day yesterday to announce the expansion of their military service award. All tuition and fees will now be covered for veterans, service members, and their spouses and dependents who are using the post 9/11 GI Bill. University officials say the vast majority of veterans will be able to earn a bachelor's degree at no out-of-pocket cost. A ninth person is dead from injuries sustained at a Southeast Texas music festival. The family of Barti Shahani says the 22-year-old passed away Wednesday night at a Houston hospital a couple days after she was declared brain dead. She was with her sister and cousin at Astroworld last Friday when a crowd surged toward the stage. Shahani was supposed to graduate from Texas A&M next spring. Moderna claims the protection its COVID-19 vaccine provides outweighs the risk of a rare heart condition. The company says the vaccine protects against severe disease, hospitalization, and death as a result of coronavirus, which it says trumps the risk of myocarditis. The rare heart inflammation has been reported among a small number of young men who have gotten the Moderna shot. The FDA is considering whether to authorize the vaccine for kids ages 12 to 17 as it takes a closer look into those reports. That's according to Moderna Chief Medical Officer Paul Burton, who says those cases are higher among those who got the Moderna shot compared to individuals who got Pfizer. However, he also pointed out rates of mild or severe COVID were lower among those who got the Moderna vaccine. Nearly a third of American families say drugs have been a problem in their household. That's according to the latest Gallup survey, which puts the number at 32%. It's the latest figure in a steady rise since Gallup first began asking the question about 25 years ago. Those impacted by drug problems cut across regional, political, and educational lines. The biggest increase over the last two decades came in towns and rural areas, in addition to households making more than $75,000 a year. Another lawsuit has been filed over the tuna in Subway's tuna sandwiches. Back in January, a class action suit was filed in California claiming Subway's tuna sandwich was quote unquote bereft of tuna. In June, the plaintiffs filed an amended complaint claiming the tuna was not 100% sustainably caught as stated in Subway's advertising. The suit was dismissed in October. Well, now the plaintiffs have filed a new suit, this time claiming the sandwich contains chicken, pork, and cattle and isn't 100% tuna. Subway calls the latest suit filed this week reckless and claims its tuna sandwich is made of high-quality, wild-caught 100% tuna. And a Florida pizza chain is stirring up controversy with one of its menu offerings. Solorzano's Pizzerias in Sarasota County is selling pies with FJB. Spelled out in pepperoni, which is short for a vulgarity directed at Joe Biden. The owners admit they are not fans of the president and blame him for the supply chain issues. According to Patch.com, the chain is also planning to introduce the LGB pizza, which is not LGBTQ, all the rest of the letters. It's Let's Go Brandon, which is a cleaner version of the phrase used to criticize the president. Today is a big day for Britney Spears, with a court hearing scheduled later today to determine if her conservatorship should end after 13 years. This comes after the pop superstar testified in court saying the legal guardianship is abusive. Spears' father, Jamie, who was in charge of her conservatorship until recently, also filed paperwork asking the court to release his daughter. Jamie's request came after Britney said she wanted to press charges against her family for the role they played in the conservatorship. Spears asked to be released without a medical evaluation, but it's unclear if the court will respect that request. Finally, Gene Simmons is calling unvaccinated people the enemy. The KISS rocker gave an interview on the Talk Shop live streaming network this week and was asked how he felt about those who were not vaccinated for COVID-19. He said, quote, "If you're willing to walk among us unvaccinated, you are the enemy. I don't care about your political beliefs. You are not allowed to infect anybody just because you think you've got rights that are delusional," end quote. He then compared being unvaccinated to smoking in a building. He said, "We don't want to smell your smoke. I don't want to catch your disease." Forecast today, breezy, sunny, upper 50s for the high. This is going to be the last of the nice days. Fall is coming tomorrow, so enjoy it. It's 45 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Randy and Bill off today. Joining me on the show, Mike Pursuta with sports. Sean Collier at 7:15. He's got a review of the new movie Red Notice, which is that's The Rock and Gal Gadot and who's the other guy? I'm drawing a blank on Joe. Ryan Reynolds,
I think.
Yes. Also reviewing We Are the Thousand, and he's got his retro pick of the week. Minka Fitzpatrick was supposed to join us last Friday, but had a meeting, so he's going to give us a make good today. So he'll join us at 8:05. And Taylor Tomlinson, she's going to perform at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead on the 19th coming up. So we'll talk to her at 9:15 this morning. It's the DVE.
Go.
But I was like an overnight. I was like an overnight DJ, and I did overnights on the weekdays, and then on the weekends I did like a 6 to 12 shift. So I went in to get my, paycheck, and my former program director Matt Spry, RIP, I'm getting my check, and he's like, "Go into production studio one," and I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Go knock on production studio one's door." And I was like, all right, thinking that we were doing like a weekend imaging thing where they wanted me to go be part of the promotional thing, you know, do a voice or something. Right. So I was like, yeah, whatever, cool. So I go, and you know how heavy those production doors are. So I'm like knocking on the door, and someone's like, "Come in." And as I'm opening it, I hear like, "Yeah, you're listening to 92.1 and 101.3. And I'm like, "No way, dude. No way." And I open it up, and it's like, "Yeah, this is Tucson's new rock." And I was like, "Oh, man." It was Macho Man was sitting there cutting promos for the station because he was promoting that rap album.
Oh, my God.
He turned around and he had sunglasses on and he took them off. I was like, "Man, you're a hero of mine. It's nice to meet you." He's like, "Yeah, very nice to meet you. All right." And he was just, I remember how like, how sunken his eyes and his head were, how in-person jacked he was. I was like, "Oh, my God, you're enormous."
The amount of steroids he must have done he had crazy muscles on muscles. It was crazy. But so the drug cocktail of ecstasy, steroids, whatever he was drinking at the time, like when his girlfriend said he had like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of ecstasy on him at any time. I could not imagine rolling with the Macho Man or him even doing it. It's not a vibe I thought he would pick up on, you know?
Rub my forearm. Yeah, rub it. Definitely feels great. Yeah, yeah. This is my favorite blanket. Yeah. Very soft. Just how annoying a rolling Macho Man is. Just always wanting more water. Yeah, you got any water? Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be.
Looking for Vicks, Vapo rub.
Yeah, just like, the way it feels on my chest. Yeah. It's got a healthy little minty little knives. Yeah.
Ralphie, he invited me for a barbecue. And I thought it was just like a, you know, typical barbecue. You know, carne asada, beef, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of tortillas, some bread, some hot dogs. No, man. This guy, his barbecue lasted from afternoon till nighttime.
Yeah.
And he never got off the grill.
No, I know.
He did not get off the grill. Man, I never had Southern food.
Yeah.
Like real food. Like,
oh, yeah. No, he used to be a chef, not a chef, but like a sous chef at Arnaud's in New Orleans. Like,
yeah.
He knew some legit skills.
Man, he put Lipton soup, onions mix in the beef. Give me hamburgers like that.
Well, that's like...
I never had that.
Yeah. That's not exactly the... That's not the height of culinary achievement.
I was like, what? Is that a casserole? I've never seen that.
Well, you don't eat meat anymore, right?
No.
How long have you gone without eating meat?
2009. What? No, 11.
Are you vegan or vegetarian?
Vegan.
Oh, wow. That's hard.
People don't believe me. What do you eat? Crops? You're big. What, you deep fried lettuce? Oh, yeah. None of butters are vegan. That's why you're fat.
Yeah, French fries are vegan. Yummy. That's Felipe Esparza. He was at the Improv a few months ago, stopped by the DVE studios. Taylor Tomlinson, comic, going to be at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead, so she'll join us 9:15 this morning. Mike Pursuta coming up with sports. Penguins winning a shootout. That's good news. So he's got that Steeler stuff. Pitt won last night as well. It's a DVE must.
DVE Sports.
I'm Mike Pursuta for DVE Sports, brought to you this hour by Bridgeville Appliance. Your Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing for first place in the AFC North Division on Sunday. The Baltimore Ravens lose in Miami in Thursday Night Football 22-10. The Ravens fall to 6-3. The Steelers can improve to 6-3, and they would temporarily at least be ahead of the Ravens in the tiebreaker due to better division and conference records. Baltimore's loss, stunning and then some. The Ravens are perceived to be very good. Miami stinks, and Miami wins anyway.
Any given Thursday, Mike.
Welcome to the NFL, Val. We keep seeing these examples of teams that we think have no chance to win, and they win anyway. Lamar Jackson, just 9 carries for 39 yards last night for the Ravens, who only rushed for 94 yards as a team. And yet another example for the Steelers last week, this week, they had Buffalo losing in Jacksonville on Sunday before the Steelers hosted the Bears on Monday. Now they get more fresh confirmation that anything is possible as they get ready to host the 0-8 Rams, a team that everybody on the South Side keeps saying you can't afford to sleep on. Defensive Keith Butler, one of the latest to do so yesterday.
Well, if you look at Detroit, what they've done, they've kind of played well, and then kind of had an off day. Played well, kind of had an off day. Well, they had an off day versus the Eagles the last time they played. And they've also had a bye week. So I think we're going to get their best football. And there are no 1-AAA teams that we're going to be playing in the National Football League. Everybody is good. You know, just so happens they happen to be 0-8, they had a chance to win a lot of the games. You know, if you look at the Rams game, Rams are a good football team. They were close, real close, about as close as us and the Bears, too close. You know, so I think that's going to be the way it is in the National Football League. There are no chumps in this league. And so we got to play and play well to get this next win, because we're going to get their best game, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, Butts mixing the analogies there. There are no 1-AAA teams. I think he meant there are either no AAA teams or there are no 1-AA teams, which is the college football designation for, you know, less than top shelf. But we get the point, Butts. Joe Schobert also spoke with the media yesterday. He's got a lot of experience playing on teams that have a lot of losses and very few wins based on his experiences in the NFL with Cleveland and Jacksonville. And Schobert said yesterday that, hey, the more you lose, the more determined you become to get a W.
I mean, it's the NFL. You're trying to win the football game, and the more the losses stack up, the more badly you want to win your football game, your first game of the season. So I expect every week, especially coming off a bye, that they're going to be giving it their best shot. I mean, you saw against the Rams, they a lot of punt fakes, a lot of onside or onside attempt, pulling out all the stops, and I would expect nothing less, trying to win a football game by any means necessary.
Steelers hosting the 0-8 Lions on Sunday at Heinz Field. Huge win for Pitt last night down at the same facility. Panthers 30, North Carolina 23 in overtime. Pitt was ahead 23-7 at halftime and dominating. Carolina came storming back in the fourth quarter and actually had a first and goal at the 2 late in the game, down 23-20. Couldn't punch it in and settled for a field goal to tie it and send it to OT. And then the Panthers win it with a touchdown in the extra session. Kenny Pickett wins the battle of future NFL quarterbacks, 25 of 43 for 346 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. Sam Howell of North
Carolina. Nice night.
Yeah. Sam Howell of North Carolina went 22 of 33, 296, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Pitt maintains its lead in the ACC Coastal Division. Panthers are 5-1, trying to stay ahead of Virginia, which is 4-2, and Miami, which is 3-2 in conference. Virginia will be at Heinz Field on November the 20th. Pitt at 8-2 overall and 5-1 in the ACC has its best record through 10 games since the 2009 team opened at 9-1. And Pickett, with those 346 yards, becomes the Panthers' all-time career passing yards leader, 11,501. That surpasses the 11,267 for Alex Van Pelt, produced from 1989 through 1992. Penguins also got a W last night. They hosted the Florida Panthers. Goals in regulation from Teddy Bluger and Evan Rodriguez. And then Brian Rust in the shootout, followed by Jeff Carter.
Carter picks it up at center. Comes right down the middle. On goal to the forehand. Deeks and scores! A reversal of fortune for the Penguins. Jeff Carter puts them in front 2-1 in the shootout.
And it held up. Tristan Jarry, 3 saves on 4 shots in the shootout. Pens win it 3-2 in the shootout. They got Chad Ruedel and Marcus Pettersson back into the lineup, although Pettersson only played 4 minutes and 5 seconds. Penguins' fourth straight overtime game. First time that's happened since April the 6th through the 13th, 2014. Busy night, Val.
Busy and a good night.
Busy day, busy night, and so far so good. You know, I did that preview show, as I always do, with Matt Williamson and Merrill Hodge last night. And Merrill, ever the professional, is insisting that this Detroit game can be a tough game if the Lions run the ball. And he thinks the Lions have played well in a lot of their games, even though they haven't won any of them. Matt and I looked at it the same way. There's nothing that Detroit has that makes you go, oh, wow, look at that guy. Or, oh, that's going to be hard to stop. Or, gee, this could be a problem. I get it's the NFL. I get Miami beat Baltimore. Jacksonville beat Buffalo. But there's a reason you don't see that stuff coming. I can't see the Steelers losing this game Sunday.
It's a better win game on Sunday.
It is. It absolutely. And if you do, first place.
Nice. That feels good. Minkah Fitzpatrick from the Pittsburgh Steelers joining us at 8:05 this morning to talk about this Sunday's game against Detroit, which you can hear here on DVE as we start the pregame at 9 a.m.
You mean today?
Yes. It's Steelers Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2.5 days of pregame leading up to it.
It's the DVE Morning Show.
Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show. Your radio home of the Steelers, 102.5 DVE. We were talking yesterday at this time about the power of Renegade. But you know, there was another song that had a whole lot of power in this town. And sometimes people forget about it. And it also, like Renegade, holds a lot of power. Here We Go. The Here We Go. That song.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know about that.
Iconic.
Yeah, the background of that. That's why, you know, there's a new behind the music about that guy. Tonight on Behind the Music, we take a look at a fight song legend. We'll take you behind the scenes as we chronicle the creative struggles and triumphs of the artist known as the guy who came up with the Here We Go song. Here we go. Born in the outskirts of the steel mining town of Pittsburgh, the Here We Go guy fell in love with the majestic polkas and Myron Cope towel-waving anthems
that filled the nighttime air of his rural hometown, where he dreamed of one day penning his own fight song. Remembers his current wife, then girlfriend, Barb.
He used to try out song titles on me like, "Honey, what about Kick Some Butt?" or "All the Way." You know, he was playing with the lyrics in that. He was always doing it. And always to the same melody. It was really annoying. I'd say, "Honey, walk the dog." And he'd go, "Walk the dog. Honey, call your mom. Call your mom." I tell you, he had knocked me up.
Super Bowl shuffles came and went, and the "Here We Go" guy waited for his chance. Then one day, his co-worker, Tommy Yudeski, said the words that would be forever immortalized.
"I told him to quit singing that friggin' melody or I was gonna kick his ass. And all he said was, 'Kick his ass.' I said, 'Keep it up, smartass.' He goes, 'Keep it up.' I says, 'Oh, it's time to go. That's it. Here we go.' And he goes, 'Here we go.' And it was like the whole mill went silent. And then he said it again, 'Here we go.' And then everyone in the mill started clapping. 'Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.' And the room went strangely quiet. And the 'Here we go' guy looks up and says, 'Pittsburgh's going to the Super Bowl. Here we go.' And then we all kind of laugh, but he just kept doing it. We were all like, 'All right, jackass, that's enough. Cut it out. It's really annoying. You're going to hell with that joke.'"
When we come back, the "Here we go" guy hits rock bottom trying to come up with a rhyme for Roethlisberger. On Behind the Music, "Here We Go" guy.
Is the "Here We Go" guy. Now, he amended it every year. And I didn't realize this. He did another one this past year. This is from December 2020.
Coach Tomlin is ready to win. With Johnson, Juju, Claypool, and Ben. We'll go to Connor when we need a touchdown. If you get in his way, he's gonna knock you around.
Okay, so all right, kill that joke.
Now we
so
know that not thinking, to be true.
But we just
not. He's actually not.
But we should just have him continually, every time there's Steeler news or updates, just have him do it in that form. That's how all the Steeler news should be broken to us from now on. "We lost Bud, Vince, and Mike Hilton. Here we go. We let Filer walk and Steve and Nelson. There they go. If Juju's logo dances make you see red, wait till Claypool kicks you right in the head. Here we go."
The new Marvel film. First off, you cannot make a 156-minute film and then call it Eternals. That's too easy. What was your working title? Really Longs? No. Can't just set us up like that. Eternals, the latest film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Directed by the current reigning Best Director winner, Chloe Zhao, who just won the trophy for Nomadland. She finished working on Nomadland and then immediately started to work on Marvel's Eternals.
Mm.
That's got to be a huge difference in budgets.
Yeah.
This is like she prepared a lovely, immaculate lobster bisque at a Michelin star restaurant and then took a shift making the baked ziti at Sbarro. That's
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
That's Sean Collier. He'll be joining us very shortly, 2 minutes after 7 now at DVE. Here is the Channel 11 Severe Weather.
Weather Center 11.
43 degrees now at DVE. The news is brought to us by Keystone Basement Systems. I'm Val Porter. COVID stats continue to be counted in Western PA. On Thursday, health officials in Allegheny County reporting 404 new COVID cases, Westmoreland County revealing 114 new cases. More states are dealing with another COVID surge 1 year after the massive winter wave occurred, and it appears the same thing is happening now. New Hampshire, Minnesota, Vermont, Illinois, New Mexico, Rhode Island, and Colorado have seen the biggest spike over the last 2 weeks. That's despite all seven states having a high vaccination rate. Experts blame cold weather forcing people inside and that nasty Delta variant causing breakthrough cases. Well, Pittsburgh has a new sister city. Mayor Bill Peduto in Scotland this week to attend meetings of a United Nations climate change conference finalized a partnership agreement with leaders in Glasgow Thursday to create a sister city connection. Leaders had held a virtual signing ceremony last year. Peduto and the head of Glasgow City Council say they expect the relationship to benefit both cities in many ways, including economic and culturally. The price of meat is on the rise in a big way. It seems a labor crunch in the meat packing industry and problems with transportation is causing meatflation. The market is expected to eventually even out, but until things get back to normal, the price of beef is expected to be about 18% higher than it was just a year ago. Remember when you were a kid and on Saturday mornings, that was the best time to watch cartoons? I don't even know if they have cartoons on Saturday mornings anymore. Regardless, adulthood, not quite as much fun. A new survey found Saturday mornings the best time to clean the house. The worst times are Sunday nights and early Monday morning. Some other stats from the survey, the average person cleans their home 7 times a month. And that stuff like mopping, washing the dishes, and wiping off the table. Washing the dishes is not cleaning the house. That's just a daily chore.
It's the most annoying chore.
Yeah, no, for me, it's dusting. I hate to dust.
I started my Saturday mornings recently because, like, we don't get to enjoy sunrises.
Uh-huh.
So I like to go for a walk on a Saturday morning.
Oh, that's very nice, Joe.
Because you get to enjoy, like, the early morning atmosphere, like, not a lot of people...
Yes.
Out and about.
The birds tweeting.
Exactly.
Yes. It's a good way to start the weekend. So if you do clean your house 7 times a week, that's, or 7 times a month, that's almost twice a week. We deep clean 5 times a month. That's stuff like cleaning the windows, the bathtub, and the toilet. I just clean everything when I clean. I just clean the whole house.
All out blitz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe once every 2 weeks.
I'll partition it off. I hate cleaning.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Well, no, it's not fun.
I got to do the bathroom today. It's bad. Then I'll do that. And then like 2 days later, I'll be like, man, this kitchen's disgusting. I got to clean this kitchen. So.
The 5 chores we like the most. You know, and of course, if you have more people, you clean more often. The 5 chores we like the most. Laundry and folding clothes, that is my favorite. There's something very, I don't know what the word is, satisfying about it.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, same.
It smells good.
What's your favorite?
Everything's fresh.
I like doing towels. That's my favorite. Towels and sheets.
Yeah, towels probably more than sheets.
It's the most rewarding when they're done, you know?
Yeah, they're fluffy and warm. Vacuuming, the thing we like most, that comes in second. Doing the dishes, Joe, is ranking third. Scrubbing down the cooking area. What are you doing if you have to scrub down the cooking area? And cleaning out the sink. I went to this was like 20 years ago, easily. I was in LA and I visited, I was hanging out with a friend of mine who was in a band, just some, you know, band out there, not famous or anything, and they had band practice at his buddy's apartment, like in the garage. So I'm like, hey, can I use your bathroom? He's like, oh yeah, sure, go ahead. It was the filthiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've not even a public bathroom have I seen that dirty.
That's disgusting. You got to wonder, though, after a certain point, is it just like self-cleaning because it's so bad?
I don't know. Like, how do you stand in a shower like that?
Like the viruses and bacteria just sort of cannibalize each other because it's so bad?
Maybe. I don't know. It was like, it was just the gross. It's burned in my memory. Ugh. Well, lots of things have been caught on doorbell cameras, animals, porch pirates, people falling down the steps. Then it gets sent to America's Funniest Home Videos. This one probably not going to make it there. A childbirth in California has been documented on the doorbell camera by accident. KCRA-TV reports that in Vacaville, which is 34 miles southwest of Sacramento, Emily Johnson and her husband started walking to their car, and she was having contractions. Well, they became so strong, she wasn't able to make it even into the car and just laid down on the front lawn and had her baby. The couple's doorbell camera caught the entire thing. Her mom was on hand for the birth and said the newborn was already delivered by the time paramedics got there. Johnson added it will make for a great story to tell years later and a great video, I guess, to show your kid. That's probably more embarrassing than, you know, bathtub pictures.
Yeah, I wonder if they can have, like, the footage of that as, like, a 12th birthday party present or something.
Right, yeah. Ozzy Osbourne has teamed up with the Soundwaves Art Foundation to make images created by the Soundwaves from Crazy Train and Mama, I'm Coming Home. Ozzy autographed 10 of each of them, which were sold to raise money for the Sweet Relief Musicians Fund. Prints that are not autographed are now for sale through SoundwavesArtFoundation.com. Olympic gold medalist Suni Lee says she was pepper sprayed in a racist attack while in Los Angeles for Dancing with the Stars. In an interview with Pop Sugar, the 18-year-old gymnast said she was waiting for an Uber with friends who were all of Asian descent when a car sped by and the people in it yelled racist slurs. Suni said one of the passengers then pepper sprayed her arm before driving off. Suni is a semifinalist on Dancing with the Stars, said, quote, I was so mad, but there was nothing I could do or control because they skirted off. I didn't do anything to them. And having the reputation, it's so hard because I didn't want to do anything that could get me into trouble. So I just let it happen, end quote. Suni is the first Hmong American to win the gold medal at the Olympics. And finally, Paris Hilton is married. She and Carter Reum tied the knot last night in Los Angeles. The couple got engaged in February after dating for 2 years. This is Paris's first marriage. It was her fourth engagement, though. So this one, she crossed the finish line, so good for her. Forecast today, breezy, sunny, temperatures only in the upper 50s. I say only. It's mid-November. So that's good. It's 43 degrees now at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Mike Pursuta coming up at the bottom of the hour. Sean Collier, you're going to join us about 5 minutes with his movie reviews of the week. Minka Fitzpatrick at 8:05, and comic Taylor Tomlinson joins us at 9:15. She's got a show at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead coming up on the 19th. Is that Tuesday? No. When is that? Next Friday. Yeah. So, we'll talk to her. It's the DVE. It's the DVE Morning Show. I'm Val Porter. Randy and Bill both out today. Joining me, though, Sean Collier. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What do you got for us this week?
Well, there's an all-star cast for a new action comedy on Netflix today. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Gal Gadot, Ryan Reynolds, starring in Red Notice from the same writer-director as the previous Rock movies, Skyscraper and Central Intelligence. Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot are competing art thieves. The Rock is the FBI agent after them. From there, you know what this movie needs to do to succeed? Exist. With that premise and that cast, as long as things happen, we've got to win. I guess if they just sat down and chatted the whole time, it might not. No, you know what? That would be the world's most attractive My Dinner with Andre. That would be great, too.
Yeah, I actually want to watch this movie. In fact, I looked a couple of days ago. I'm like, is this movie out yet? Can I watch it?
It's there are very few Netflix originals that feel as big as this. Some more prestige ones, like The Irishman or Marriage Story. But in terms of like a Hollywood blockbuster, you know, with famous people and a big budget effects and such, this feels like one of their most ambitious movies they've picked up. Stuff happens throughout. It's not just My Dinner with Andre with famous people. Fun movie stuff, art heists and prison breaks and sword fights and jumping off a waterfall. Those three stars who are very likable do an unpretentious, fun movie. The worst thing you could say about it, I guess, it's not like a masterpiece. The direction's just kind of there. The characters are basically these people playing themselves. It's not, you know, innovative, creative filmmaking. But this is absolutely a case where that does not matter. We're not trying to reinvent cinema here. We've got good-looking people making jokes and punching bad guys and finding the secret Nazi treasure. It's a cold, sleepy weekend. Put that on streaming and stare at it. What more do you want?
Well, anything The Rock does turns to gold.
Yeah, he is so reliable. You got to really look hard to find a movie with The Rock that isn't at least fun and watchable. And this one has art heists and prison breaks and secret Nazi treasure. By the way, how long are we going to wrap new movies around secret Nazi treasure? It's been 75 years.
How many are left?
Did no one else hide any treasure since 1945? No, especially on what looks like a chilly weekend at home. You put on Red Notice. You'll have a good time.
Nice. What's next?
Well, I wanted to talk about this very cool documentary. It's called We Are the Thousand. It's playing as part of the Three Rivers Film Festival, which is going on right now, continuing through Wednesday. I'm thrilled that the film festival is back in action. For decades, this was a Pittsburgh filmmakers thing. Filmmakers sadly dissolved a couple of years ago. But Film Pittsburgh kind of immaculate receptioned the film festival itself and kept it running. This is the first time they've been back in person. They did it virtually last year. This movie, We Are the Thousand, specifically because of the subject matter, there's a guy in a small town in Italy, Cesena, Italy. This is about the size of Erie.
Wait, did you say this is a documentary?
It's a documentary, okay. Yeah. So not a big city at all. It's bigger than Altoona, but not by much. He's obsessed with the Foo Fighters. He thinks to himself, I bet if I made a video of 1,000 people playing a Foo Fighters song, I could get them to come here and play a concert. And so he just starts doing that. He decides he's going to make the largest rock band in history to get a hometown Foo Fighters concert. Little note there. They've got, like, good trains in Europe. It can't be hard for this guy to get to, like, Rome. And the Foo Fighters are going to play there eventually. There's an easier way to see the Foo Fighters. But he starts this project and does a crowdfunding campaign and starts to get people sending in videos to be in the 1,000-person band. And it's only then that they start to go, I don't know if we can set up for a 1,000-person band.
That's how are they going to have a concert?
That's a challenge for the roadies to get everyone, let alone get everyone playing on time. It might just sound like soup when we do it. Because they're not talking about, like, each drummer has one snare, like a marching band.
Mm-hmm.
They have 250 drum kits on a big field.
Wow.
350 electric guitars plugged into 350 amps. I thought that, like, four of them would be plugged in and the rest would just be strumming and unplugged. No, they're all plugged in and going. There's a lot going on. You have to see the film to see how it turns out. But, you know, it's an uplifting story. Do you think they'd make the documentary if it was, yeah, we got this band together and we sent it to the Foo Fighters and they ignored it? No, that's not what the movie's about.
Big fail.
And it sounds really good. It sounds like a 1,000-person rock band.
Nice.
That they had to like have every drummer on loud headphones with a click track, and then they had to have a visual. They said, we have a visual metronome. Like, they had these green and red flashing lights that went 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Because otherwise, it just would have sounded like a mess.
Wow.
But they made it work. And this band, it's not really in the movie. Not this band, a different 1,000 people, went on to play like full concerts in stadiums. It's you got to see it. It's at the Three Rivers Film Festival Sunday and Tuesday. But until the festival ends, which is, I believe, it goes through Wednesday. Until then, you can also stream it through the festival website as long as you're in the immediate area.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a retro pick of the week for us?
Look, I believe that we are too early for Christmas movies. It's still, what, 2 weeks from Thanksgiving?
I say after Thanksgiving, you're good.
That's my general opinion. And yet, the flashback cinema pick down at Phoenix Theater in Bridgeville is Love Actually. Now, I'm an admitted Grinch. I don't get in the holiday spirit. Until someone puts Love Actually on, then give me a peppermint mocha and a cozy sweater. It's time to cry. I love that movie. Great cast. Funny. Still very funny. we can kick off Christmas movies a little early, I think.
I'm not sure I've ever seen it.
Really?
It's
a good cable movie, like some of those. One of the 14 channels that is just showing Christmas movies nonstop for the next 7 weeks will put it on. Then you're dealing with an hour and a half of commercials. It's got really great, you know, serious parts. It's got really funny parts. And the cast is amazing with Liam Neeson, Alan Rickman, Bill Nighy, Emma Thompson. It's every, you know, funny, talented, smart British actor. That's a really good one.
All right. We'll go see that in Bridgeville.
Mm-hmm. Sunday night. Those are great because there's a little guy that comes on the screen and says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. Let me tell you about a movie you already know." It's cute.
Now, do these retro picks, do they only air once? So it's like, say, Saturday, 8 o'clock or whatever.
I think at Bridgeville, it's Sunday night, and I believe they do it again on Wednesday night.
Cool.
So you'll have a couple of chances.
All right. That's Sean Collier. Mike Pursuta up next, talking wins, big wins. Well, overtime, big wins for the Penguins last night and the Panthers. So he's got details coming up in sports. It's the DVE.
DVE Sports.
I'm Mike Pursuta for DVE Sports. You probably weren't anticipating the Steelers playing for first place in the AFC North Division on Sunday when they host the winless Detroit Lions. But then last night happened. Dolphins 22, Ravens 10. I said it. I watched the end of it. I still can't believe it. The Dolphins lost starting quarterback Jacoby Brissett and won anyway. They held Lamar Jackson to 39 yards rushing and the Ravens to 94 yards rushing. Tua Tagovailoa replaced Brissett. He's been under intense scrutiny in Miami of late, and he played okay, 8 for 13, 158 yards passing. The Dolphins dropped the Ravens to 6-3. The Steelers can improve to 6-3 if they beat the winless Lions. Did I mention Detroit hasn't won a game yet?
I think I've heard that, yes.
They've played 8 games, yeah. And they've won none of them. They played 3 preseason games. You know how many of those they won?
None.
Good guess.
At least their fans are used to a season where they don't win any games. That's not news up there.
No. Well, and they have T-shirts up there that say Detroit Lions rebuilding since 1957.
Right.
They're not good. And, yeah, they're an NFL team, and, yeah, they got NFL players. And as last night reminded us, yeah, anybody can win any game. But things are taking a turn for the better for the Steelers. Now they got to take care of business against winless Detroit on Sunday. Offensive coordinator Matt Canada met the media as he always does on Thursday. Hey, it was coordinator Thursday on the South Side. One of the things we talked about with offensive coordinator Matt Canada was how the Steelers have finally gotten around to featuring tight end Pat Freiermuth. Second-year tight end, the rookie tight end, second-round draft pick tight end, has 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games. Canada tried to explain yesterday why it seemingly took so long to get Freiermuth the damn ball.
I mean, obviously, there's, you know, you go back to week 1, and you know Juju was healthy. You know, some of those pivotal moments, you know, third downs or in the red zone. I mean, you're going to go to, and we've got, you know, Chase and Deontay and, you know, Juju, and now he's not there anymore. James has made a lot of big plays. You know, Ebron's made plays over time. I mean, Najee. So it just, we feel like we have a lot of weapons. So you design things, hopefully, based on week-to-week matchups, what they do, how they do it, and who they do it with. So I don't know if we didn't do that, but obviously the more a guy proves himself, the more you look for those matchups. You know, that'd be certainly true.
Kennett also made a point of crediting quarterback Ben Roethlisberger for accelerating Freiermuth's development.
Probably going back to when I was across the way there watching, I think Ben does such a great job in practice. I think it's a, you know, I studied it then, you know, as a outsider of putting, you know, practicing, putting balls in different spots for different guys. And to your point about radius, seeing what guys can do, having him practice that versus just sitting out here on air and throwing all balls in the same spot, because that's not what real football is. Real football isn't drop back on air, stand real good, and everybody looks happy and pretty. That's not what it's like. There's people moving, there's bumps. And I think Ben, I don't think. I know he does just a tremendous job of that with everybody. So I think he speeds that up in his the way he practices. And obviously that's just, you know, being a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I think that helps. And but then Pat's eagerness to get it done, to figure it out. What do you mean? Where do you want me? And his, you know, although I remember back in camp, he didn't get his feet in a couple times early, and it was, you know, but I mean, he figured it out. And so it's a combination of both. But I would certainly credit Ben for pushing it and leading it, which he does with everybody.
Do you think when Ben Roethlisberger either listens or reads what Matt Canada has to say, he assesses whether or not he thinks he's gotten the proper respect? And do you think when Matt Canada listens or sees or reads what Ben Roethlisberger has to say, he assesses whether or not he's gotten the proper respect? Those guys seem to be communicating with each other in an interesting way back and forth in the media. But it's working.
Yeah, whatever works. A win is a win.
Did any of the coordinators talk about how to not fumble the ball in the fourth quarter on a return with a comfortable lead?
We did not get a chance to talk with special teams coordinator Danny Smith yesterday. I requested him, and my request was denied.
Well, he had some work to do. That might have been it.
That would be a good thing to clean up as you get ready to play the winless Lions. That's one way a winless team can actually win a game is if you put it on a tee for them. Steelers and Lions on Sunday at Heinz Field. Pitt taking on North Carolina last night. Huge game as they head down the stretch in the ACC. And what an ending to this one. Pitt was up 23-7 at the half. It was 23-20 when Carolina had a first and goal at the Pitt 2 with 1:13 remaining. Then a bad snap that resulted in a throwaway incompletion, a false start, a loss of one on second and seven, and a completion of 5 yards on third and goal from the 8. Carolina ends up kicking a field goal to tie it and send it to overtime, but did not win the game at the end of regulation. Kenny Pickett and Pitt took care of business in the extra session. One touchdown for Pitt, none for Carolina. Pitt wins it 30-23. Here's head coach Pat Narduzzi.
What do you say? I mean, I talked to our defense today. We had a 30-minute meeting over in the Drats, and after Bates got done, I just said, listen, everybody's talking about offense. You know, you win championships with defense, and that was a championship effort today by our defense. 3 fourth down stops. You know, we turned the ball over late, and we, you know, forced them to a field goal. You know, there was talk about letting them score, and, you know, we'd go down and score. I was like, I can't do that. We, you know, we're going to stop them here. You know, when they got it down, I think the one. You know, just some incredible efforts by a bunch of guys. MJ Devonshire with the finishing touch, and I think Cabo put some pressure on the quarterback at that time, but our kids were fresh. That was part of the plan. You know, we didn't practice much this week. We had to keep them fresh, and I got that from Coach Tomlin, so I appreciate Coach Tomlin and just talking with him how they deal with it in the NFL. It's nice to have neighbors like that.
Yeah, kind of cool. You know, Matt Canada a moment ago talking about watching Ben Roethlisberger practice even when he was at Pitt, and then last night Narduzzi saying he asked Mike Tomlin, hey, how do you work out these Thursday games? Because it's a short week. And, you know, college teams aren't as used to it as the pro teams are. Stunning revelation when he said there was talk on the sideline of letting Carolina score and he couldn't do it. The exact same thing was in my head. First and goal at the 2 with 1:13 left. I'm thinking you got to let him get a touchdown and give yourself about a minute to try to go down and steal it at the end because you're never going to keep him out of the end zone here. And they did it. And Pitt improves to 8-2 overall, 5-1 in the ACC. Panthers staying in first place in the Coastal Division. It's Pitt at 5-1, Virginia at 4-2, and Miami at 3-2. And Virginia is coming to Heinz Field on November the 20th.
That Big Cat called it last night.
It wasn't exactly the play of the year, but it won, and that's all that matters. That was supposed to be the showdown between future NFL quarterbacks Kenny Pickett and Sam Howell, and they both played really well. But as Narduzzi said, the defense ended up winning it for Pitt. Penguins hosted the Florida Panthers last night, and just as the Pens' prior three games had done, this one went to overtime, and this one went to a shootout, but for a change, this one had a happy ending.
Here's Anton Lindell. A Jari save gives the Penguins the win. Lindell with speed right down the middle shoots. Tristan Jari keeps it out, and the Penguins take the shootout. 3-2 the final score. Jari and the Penguins get the last laugh. They are the winners tonight at PPG Paints Arena.
Oh, you got luck all over the place here. You had the rush shot go off the post and in. The Lundell shot goes off the inside of Jari's pad, kisses the post, and goes wide. It's a two-point party on Fifth Avenue once again.
Yeah, first shutout win for the Penguins, and much needed, much better performance in a shootout by Tristan Jari. Even if, as Borky said, a little luck doesn't hurt.
Well, puck luck never hurts.
Better to be lucky than good, Valerie.
You said it, mister.
That's sports.
Can I toss in an update here?
Sure.
Just saw this headline. Julia Hurricane Hawkins, 105 years old, has set the world record in the 100-meter dash, 105 and up division.
Is anybody else people, in the division?
No, I think she's the first one that tried. But the important thing... Congratulations. Pirates are looking at her. Maybe a pinch runner kind of a situation.
Thanks, Sean. 8:05 this morning. Minka Fitzpatrick from the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be joining us. That is on the way. It's a DVE
morning show.
We started talking about the David Lee Roth scream and how he's less of a singer and more of a front man, because it's not like you're like, oh, I can't wait to hear David Lee Roth sing the classics. No, you like David Lee Roth, the singer. Or the
front whole
man.
Show,
right? The entertainer.
So we had Dave put David Lee Roth, Joe put David Lee Roth in different movie scenes. We had him screaming because we thought it'd be funny to have him running away from the dinosaurs in that park. So the first one, this is David Lee Roth running from T Rex in Jurassic Park.
Come on, we gotta get out of here. Gotta get out of here now, right now. Go, let's go. Hey.
Oh God! Oh God! Oh
God! Oh, Joe, that was great.
Oh, God.
Play it again.
Please.
Hold on, I'm running.
All right, see, now, I thought that was the theme you were going to stick with. It was all going to be David Lee Roth being chased.
That's wonderful.
But he's put him in other movies. He put David Lee Roth in Jerry Maguire.
You complete me. And I just...
Shut up. You had me at hello.
Yes.
Pittsburgh.
I went to this was like 20 years ago easily. I was in LA and I visited I was hanging out with a friend of mine who was in a band, just some, you know, band out there, not famous or anything, and they had band practice at his buddy's apartment, like in the garage. So I'm like, hey, can I use your bathroom? He's like, oh yeah, sure, go ahead. It was the filthiest thing I've ever seen in my life. I've not even a public bathroom have I seen that dirty.
You gotta wonder, though, after a certain point, is it just like self-cleaning because it's so bad?
I don't know. Like, how do you stand in a shower like that?
Like the viruses and bacteria just sort of cannibalize each other because it's so bad?
Maybe.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's the DVE Morning Show, 5 minutes after 8 here at DVE. Hey, I want to tell you about a really cool contest. It's a DVE Steelers Road Warrior Flyaway. DVE teaming up with Caliente Pizza and Draft House to give you the ultimate Steelers road trip. One lucky winner and a guest going to see the Steelers take on the Minnesota Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis Thursday, December 9th. You get round trip airfare, two nights hotel, two tickets to the game, and a $100 gift card to Caliente Pizza and Draft House. You can get registered for that right now at DVE.com.
Well, if you get that, you got to go to Manny's Steakhouse.
Yeah, you know every good restaurant in every NFL city.
A lot of them.
Speaking of the NFL, joining us right now from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Minka Fitzpatrick. Good morning, Minka.
Good morning. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for joining us this morning. So,
appreciate you having me.
Defensive coordinator Keith Butler yesterday saying there are no chumps in the NFL. He thinks you guys are going to get Detroit's best game on Sunday. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree with what he's saying. I think every team is full of talent. you know, they're in a kind of a transition phase between coaching staffs, and sometimes it's not an easy process. So, you know, they're not getting the results that they want in the field, but, you know, they have a lot of talent on the field. And if you go out there and play, play not our best game and they play theirs, you know, they could go out there and beat us. So we got to play our best game and know that every week, no matter who we're playing or what the record is, that they're going to go out there and give us their A++ game.
Minka, Keith's not the only guy that's been talking about that kind of thing this week. Mike Tomlin started it on Tuesday. I think every player I've talked to this week has brought up, hey, you can't sleep on the Lions just because they're 0-8. Are they trying to sell you guys on that, or are you guys trying to sell all of us just so we get it?
I think we know it, you know what I'm saying? I think that's it's a common thing. You know, you just seen last night on Thursday Night Football, you know, Miami beat a 2-7 Miami team beat a 6-3 or 6-2 Baltimore team. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's due to preparation or how they prepare or, you know, what they thought about Miami, but, you know, anybody could beat anybody in this league. So, you know, it's a known thing. It's a known factor in football. So I think everybody in the locker room just knows what's going on and knows how we have to prepare. So but this week we've been kind of, you know, on our details and practicing hard and moving like we would if we were facing an undefeated team.
Did you watch any of the Ravens game last night? And if you did you notice anything Miami did that might be worth borrowing?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. They bring a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? They're rushing, especially on, you know, situational ball. They're rushing a lot of guys, and just, you know, letting the four DBs cover the five DBs cover the five eligibles, and they rushed everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes they brought extra people in. I think that just kept Lamar in the pocket and put a lot of pressure on him. So it's something that we could definitely use.
You guys did something a little similar against the Bears, maybe not the blitzing, but heavy box and a lot of single coverage against Fields. It seemed to work the vast majority of the game. A couple big plays here and there. How'd you feel about what the defense did against Chicago?
I think we started off really strong, and then we gave a couple big plays. And those big plays usually end to, you know, points at the end of drive. So I think in the second half, we just needed to finish better. We needed to be cleaner with our eyes, cleaner with overall execution. You know what I'm saying? You know, Chicago's a good team, and, you know, Justin Fields made some good plays and hit some good throws. But for the most part, it was, you know, us just not playing our best game. You know, and that's usually what the case is with us when people make plays against us. You know, we're such a talented roster, talented team that, you know, we could go out there and play A++ games, but as soon as we make one mistake, teams capitalize on them. So, well, I think we did a good job, but have to do a way better job of finishing the game.
Your guy, Joe Schobert, was talking about that yesterday, and he attributed some of those big play breakdowns to, and this is – exactly the way he put it, brain farts. How do you clean those up?
Yeah, I think not getting a load of sleep. You know what I'm saying? Not because sometimes you have to do the same thing every play, the right way, an entire drive, and sometimes that could get kind of monotonous, and maybe you start just going through the motions of things. And when you do that, you know, if something changes, some change that the offense does, you know, you can have a brain fart and you could, you know, see something that you would normally see and react to it. But because, you know, you're just going through the motions of things, it hits you in the face. You know what I'm saying? Or it just happens way faster.
It happens to me all the time, man. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Were you exactly a little surprised by Justin Fields? I mean, he's got a great skill set, but he's so young. I was a little surprised how effectively he threw the ball down the field. Were you?
If you see him film, he has a strong arm, talented arm. If we watch the film, you know, he's a great guy, great player. But it's just things that we did. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I was out of position and made a throw a lot easier for him a couple times, you know. So just little things like that helped him make those throws. Obviously, you know, he threw it under pressure. Cam Hayward was coming to get him, and he stepped in the pocket and made a nice throw. But, you know, if we were in better position, we could have made a little harder on him. But, you know, he made the throws that he needed to make.
Minka, statistically, you guys are a top 10 scoring defense. The game is clearly tilted toward offense. You know, dominating defenses now aren't necessarily what they were 10 or 15 years ago. How close are you guys to being what you want to be this year, and what do you think that can be in terms of impacting games?
I think we've been getting better. You know, since like week three, I think we've been getting better and better each game. Or after Green Bay, I think we've been getting better and better each game, and we just got to keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? Every single week, we got to keep, you know, staying on the details, learning from the prior week. And, you know, just keep growing. I think, you know, we're definitely capable of being, you know, a top three defense like we've been the last couple of years. Then we just, you know, got to fine-tune some things, got to keep growing throughout the season and just stacking good games on top of each other.
If Alabama loses a second game, should Alabama be allowed in the college playoff?
Yes, of course, Alabama. They're going to go out there and win no matter what.
No, I mean, if you guys lose to Georgia in the SEC championship game, you got to sit this one out, don't you?
That's the number one team in the country. What do you mean? That's the Georgia. That's what they got them at. So if we lose to them, we're supposed to lose to them. But they're not going to lose to them.
Minka Fitzpatrick from the Pittsburgh Steelers, thanks for joining us this morning. Good luck Sunday. Have a great game.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
14 minutes after 8 at DVE.
I just want to point out that, you know, in case people don't know, he went to Alabama. Mm-hmm. And not only did he go to Alabama, when we were doing the Zoom thing with him last year, mm-hmm. and he was at his house, he would have a big Alabama flag behind him in his background. I'm sure that wasn't coincidental. I love how loyal he is to the Tide.
Yeah. Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
Severe Weather Center 11.
42 degrees at DVE. I'm Val Porter. Western Pennsylvania veterans are being asked to check with government officials about the return of military medals and decorations. On Thursday, Pennsylvania Treasurer Stacey Garrity urged former service members and their families to search the Treasury's database for military memorabilia, including Purple Hearts and Bronze Stars. Garrity said more than 700 medals have been returned or are in the process of being returned, but more are still unclaimed. Officials say the Treasury usually receives the medals from abandoned or forgotten safety deposit boxes. Former President Trump is getting his wish of keeping White House records secret for now. They were supposed to be released today to a House committee investigating January's Capitol attack, but a judge gave that ruling this week. But then a federal appeals court blocked that yesterday. The court plans to hear arguments in the case November 30th. Trump argues the documents are protected under executive privilege.
Desperately attempting to hide documents at great personal expense through repetitive lawsuits, the actions of a man with nothing to hide.
Right. Well, here's your feel-good story for the morning.
Nice.
13-year-old Abraham Olegbegi of Jackson, Mississippi, was born with a rare blood disorder and needed a bone marrow transplant. His transplant was successful, but he qualified for a grant from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Instead of spending that money on a gift for himself or a trip to Disney, Abraham chose to use the money to feed the homeless. Abraham worked with the Make-A-Wish Foundation to create his own charity, which he is calling Abraham's Table. He already spent one day handing out free food to those in need in his community. Abraham was touched by the response of those he was able to help, explaining that some were so thankful they returned to actually sing him a song. Abraham's work is not done yet. The plan is for him to feed the homeless once a month for an entire year. And then after Make-A-Wish finishes his wish in August of 2022, Abraham plans to continue helping the homeless and following through on an important lesson he says he learned from his parents. It's a blessing to be a blessing.
That's so nice. And some pretty heavy shade directed at all of the Make-A-Wish kids who just met John Cena and went to WrestleMania. That's kind of making them look bad, Abraham. No, good for him.
Yeah. Have you heard of Tall Zoom Energy? Probably haven't heard that term, but when I tell you what it is, you go, oh, okay. Strange phenomenon is occurring as more and more people head for the office after long stints of working exclusively at home, and they're finding out their coworkers aren't as tall as they thought. So this must be new coworkers. Apparently, all those video chats have given people the impression of tall Zoom energy. Scientists haven't really studied why people come off as taller than they really are, but it may be because everyone appears roughly the same size in video chats. And most people take it as a compliment. Having tall Zoom energy suggests that you are confident and assertive.
I had like a kind of a new friend group that hung out on Zoom, you know, during the pandemic. It just somebody got a bunch of their friends together. I didn't know most of them. And then I saw one in person, and it turned out that she was 5'1". And I was just confused.
Ooh, you're tiny.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to, I was trying not to be awkward, but I was just looking and it's like, I pictured you not all the way down there. And then we had a conversation about it and someone else was like, oh yeah, I'm 6'1". I was like, what? I thought you were small. It is very confusing.
So what do you do if you're a fan of Crocs, but you're looking for something ugly to wear to a Christmas party?
Wear the Crocs. They're ugly.
Well, that would qualify, but they also have a new line of ugly Christmas sweater clogs. Two patterns. One's red and white with snowflake, tree, snowmen, and reindeer charms. And then there's a white multicolored pair with snowflake, tree, gingerbread man, and Santa hat wearing dinosaur charms. They're $64.99
little
each.
Which you have too much money. Buyer beware. You're going to see Christmas sweater ads popping up on your feeds around this time of year. I pounced one year and spent, I don't think it was $100, but it was close, on an ugly Christmas sweater from The Shining. It was like the pattern from the rug in like a sweater, and then on the bottom was Jack Nicholson frozen in the snow, but wearing a Santa hat.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I ordered it, paid for it, and then after the whole transaction was completed, got the email that said, due to shipping delays, this is expected to arrive in mid-February. That's not Christmas. I will not be wearing this on St. Paddy's Day.
Look at it this way. You'll be prepared for next Christmas. You are way ahead of the game.
And that one turned out to be one of these sweatshirts that looks like a sweater. I think that's cheating.
Mm.
I don't want it to be a printed situation.
Yeah.
I want someone knitting my ugly Christmas sweater.
So is your slang on point?
No.
No? Yeah, I bet when you hear this list, you'll say it is. Survey by Preply found 80% of Americans say they use slang, but 50% say they don't even know what they're saying because they don't know the meaning of what they're saying. According to Preply, these are the most popular slang words in America. Ghosted.
As in, after I walked around with Taco Bell in my teeth for 2 hours, the person I was seeing ghosted me.
That would be
okay.
A proper use of the term, yes.
All right.
When someone cuts off communication, although that would be, there's an explanation for that. This is without explanation.
I see.
Salty.
The shade I received on the Zoom left me feeling salty.
Yes, exceptionally bitter, angry, or upset. On point, exactly right or perfect.
As in, man, that The Shining Christmas sweater is on point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woke.
Yeah, we know that one.
Yep. Goat.
a small barnyard creature. the greatest of all time.
Yes. Extra. Now, this is one I have not really heard used as a slang term.
I think that came and went. Like, I remember that being a slang term a few years ago. It's like, boy, this gaudy Christmas display with the train and the blow-up Santas is extra.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is a over-the-top.
Yeah.
Very good, Sean.
Hey, I have a TikTok account.
Low-key. How is that slang?
That's just a word.
Yeah. Understated. Catfish.
That's like from
old.
10 years ago.
Yeah. Assuming a false identity or personality online. Savage.
That's a generic positive man. She was savage at the bar last night.
Well, this says not caring about consequences.
Okay.
That's one I would probably use incorrectly.
That was the lifestyle of Randy Macho Man Savage. Yes.
Right. And I don't know this one either. I've never heard it. Thirsty.
Yeah, that's a polite way of saying horny.
Well, yeah, okay. You could use it there. Mm-hmm. Needing approval, affection, or attention. That works.
Oh, then I was doing it wrong. I clearly was using that word wrong. No, a thirst trap is when you post something sexy
to get somebody interested.
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume those are...
Joe, did you know all those? You're young.
You're young.
Yeah. A couple of pet peeves on there. I don't... Low-key is, like, used all the time. I had a friend that would, like, use it as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, describing anything, it'd be, like, twice in a sentence.
If somebody told me, you're thirsty, I would have no idea. I mean, now I know, but I was like, actually, I'm very quenched right now. Thank you.
I mean, people will say low-key meaninglessly. Like, just before they're about to tell you something. Like, low-key, I love that cheesy gordita crunch. And I don't know why. I guess they're saying, like, this isn't a big deal, but...
Is that similar to on the down low?
Depends on which demographic you are speaking
well,
to.
Well, yeah, I know. There's different meanings. Yeah. So, yeah. I would say Oprah taught me what that meant.
Mm-hmm. On the down low would be something you want to keep more secret, I think.
Yeah.
Low key is just exactly
don't
what
make
Sean's,
a big deal.
Yeah. But by saying it, you're contradicting yourself because you're making kind of a big deal about something.
Yeah. If it's that low key, shut up.
The new Tom Petty documentary, Somewhere You Feel Free, The Making of Wildflowers, is now streaming for free on YouTube. The 90-minute film uses new interviews and a collection of 16-millimeter film shot from 1993 to 1995 that was found in Petty's vault in 2020. And finally, The Piano Man is returning to Pittsburgh. 5-time Grammy winner Billy Joel yesterday announcing plans to play a show at PNC Park in 2022. Tickets for the August 11th date go on sale next Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. It will be his first show in Pittsburgh in 6 years.
That is either the day before or the day after the Motley Crue, Poison, Def Leppard date at the same venue. So someone's staying down there the whole time. Oh. Someone is going to tailgate their way between those
better
two
get
events.
A room right now.
Yeah.
Forecast today, sun and a little breezy, upper 50s for the high. It's 43 now at DVE. Mike Pursuta coming up. Steelers playing for first place in the AFC North on Sunday, 1 o'clock against the Detroit Lions at Heinz Field. Mike's up next, DVE.
I'm Mike Pursuta for DVE Sports, brought to you this hour by Dormont Appliance. It has happened again in the National Football League. Dolphins 22, Ravens 10. I don't know how it happened either, but it keeps happening. How did the Jaguars beat the Bills? How does any of this stuff keep happening? See, I think we heard Val from Micah Fitzpatrick, and we've heard from the Steelers all week. Everybody's good. Everybody has good players, blah, blah, blah. I think it's how hard it is not to sleep on these teams. And I think these losses, that last night's more on the Ravens than Miami. I didn't even watch the game, and I'm going to make that statement.
Mm-hmm.
If the good teams show up and take care of business and prepare well and play with detail and energy, the bad teams are going to lose.
Well, it's a good lesson for the Steelers.
It is. And they've been talking about it all week as they get ready to host winless Detroit Steelers trying to extend their winning streak to 5 games, and if they can win, they will be in first place in the AFC North Division thanks to that aforementioned Miami victory at home over Baltimore. But some work to do before the Steelers get there. One of the things they're apparently going to have to work around is opposing offensive tackles jumping the snap count and retreating into their pass protection sets too early. It should be penalties. The penalties aren't being called. We heard T.J. Watt complaining about that after the game Monday night. We heard Gene Steratore right here on this very program say, yeah, Watt's got a point. The tackles are getting away with murder. I'm paraphrasing Gene. Keith Butler, the Steelers defensive coordinator, talked about that yesterday on Coordinator Thursday. Turn it up. Yeah, one of the things Keith Butler said about the offensive tackles getting an unfair advantage is, there ain't a whole lot the Steelers can do about it.
They're not going to call things like that. I wish they would. And if it's obvious, they will call it. But if it's not obvious, they're not. They're trying to get the jump. I mean, this is an offensive league. If you look at what's happened over the years, you know, how far can you block downfield? Well, it seems like it's getting more and more every year. You know what I'm saying? So we can't do nothing about that. The referees have got to decide whether they're off or on, and, you know, they're right, automatically right. So there's nothing we can do about it.
You know, I don't know if those train tracks are at a spot where those guys have to honk the horn for safety purposes, or they just like honking it when they see that stuff's going on at the facility.
Well, then when you hear it, you go, that was me. That was me honking.
I think a guy actually tried to do the here we go Steelers, here we go thing the other day. Like,
Well, then that answers your question.
Yeah. But I could just be perceiving that. One thing the Steelers can't blame on the officials is their inadequate response to Chicago's Wildcat offense Monday night. The Bears pulled that out of their backside and had some success with it, and Butler said the Steelers have to do better.
Maybe one play out of every day, 500 plays, it's a Wildcat, then you got to decide what you're going to spend your time on trying to defend and the type of things you might get. And sometimes it's a guessing game, you know. And so obviously we got to be more prepared than that and have a call that maybe can help us in that.
Yeah, that surprised me as well. I thought they would handle it better, but you remember that this is a relatively young defense in spots, and they didn't recognize it, and they didn't respond to it the way they need to respond to it. I don't know if the Lions are going to go Wildcat, but they have been a team this year that has been willing to try anything because, did I mention, they're 0-8, and they're coming off their bye week, so they could have all kind of tricks up their sleeve, all kind of stuff that the Steelers haven't prepared for.
Nothing to lose except another game.
That is their approach, and they are embracing it. We'll see what we see Sunday at Heinz Field. The 5-3 playing for first place Steelers against the 0-8 Detroit Lions. Pitt improves to 8-2 overall, 5-1 in the ACC with a 30-23 overtime survival of North Carolina. Pitt was way up early and hanging on late, but getting it done. And that 5-1 record in the ACC is good enough to continue leading the Coastal Division. Virginia is 4-2. Virginia coming to Heinz Field on November the 20th. And Miami is 3-2 as Pitt continues to push to try to win the division and play in the ACC championship game. Pitt cornerback Kenny Pickett became the Panthers' career leader in passing yards. 346 of those against the Tar Heels pushes his career total to 11,501. That bests the 11,267 that Alex Van Pelt posted from 1989 through 1992. The bigger deal to Pickett was that Pitt not only stayed in first place, but achieved a victory that, based on the way it was achieved, may yet resonate.
I think we needed it. I think we needed a game like this where, you know, it was tight in the fourth and tight in overtime, and we kind of battled through and got it done. At the end of the day, no one cares how you get it done. Just get it done. So, you know, I think we'll rally around this one and, you know, push these last two games.
Yeah, Pitt had to stop North Carolina on a first and goal at the Panthers' 2-yard line with a minute 13 left, and Pitt leading by just 3. Carolina unable to punch the ball into the end zone and ultimately settled for a game-tying field goal, and then Pitt wins it in overtime. 8-2 is the Panthers' best performance through 10 games since the 2009 team was 9-1.
Can you project out, if they were to win out and take that title game, what bowl would be in their future? Is there a major marquee matchup there?
Oh, I'm sure there would be. I could project that out. I have chosen not to because everybody's kind of just guessing.
Yeah.
They're not going to make the college football playoff.
No, but, you know, for a team that was highly ranked and had a heartbreaking loss, you know, they could well end in the teens of the top 25.
Absolutely. Maybe higher than that.
Good season.
Yeah. Oh, it's at 8-2, it's got a shot to get to 12-2, and that would be a remarkably good season.
Yeah.
That would be something to really celebrate. Getting, you know, winning the ACC championship would be something to really celebrate. Getting there would be something to celebrate. And they're getting closer by the week. That's going to be a huge game against Virginia on November the 20th. 3-2 Penguins over the Florida Panthers in overtime, or excuse me, in a shootout last night at the PPG Paints Arena. Penguins still playing shorthanded, but still getting some unlikely contributions along the way.
Up the left wing he comes, sidesteps the pressure from Rodriguez, 4-on-2 for Florida. It's Montour in the slot, dishing it right side for Barkov. Lost the handle at the near circle, and the Penguins race the other way. They have a 2-on-1 if they hurry. Zucker hits Rodriguez, splits the defense, in on goal, shoots. He scores! Evan Rodriguez buries it and puts the Penguins up 2-1 with 2:07 to go in the second.
Yeah, Evan Rodriguez, fourth goal of the season. Teddy Bluger got his third. Those were the two regulation tallies. Nothing in overtime. And then Tristan Jarry finally steps up in a shootout. He's had his struggles in those prior to last night. But last night he stopped 3 of 4 Florida shots. And the Penguins got shootout goals from Brian Rust and Jeff Carter to win it. First time since April of 2014 that the Penguins have played four consecutive overtime games. Jarry, by the way, stopped 36 of 38 shots in regulation. That's a save percentage of .947. He has allowed two goals or fewer in 7 of his 10 games this season. So he's doing pretty well, Valerie.
Yeah.
Yes. Good one last night. News coming up at the top of the hour, and Reddit tells us how to know if you're old. So we'll talk about those things on the way. It's a DVE more.
Hey, Space. Bill, here's something great.
Yes, sir.
They blew off fireworks an hour before the game to show people, to tell people, like, okay, it's time to go into the stadium now. They had to blow off fireworks. Wow. So we're going to start doing that in the show. Like, when you're coming on the program, I'm going to start blowing off fireworks an hour before you're on here, just to let people know.
Just go up on the roof with like 2 cherry bombs. Yeah. Pop, pop.
I'm going to throw them out on a parkway.
Now.
Garvel's coming. Now. Boom. You going in an hour.
Just Randy up there with a Roman candle and a drone.
Garvel's coming.
Couple whistlers.
What's that up there?
The whistlers.
Pop. Was that a gunshot? Nope. Gardell's on DVE in an hour.
Bottle rockets. Talk about Kaz. Those are Kazi bottle rockets.
Bottle rockets. I remember there's a kid that used to shoot those at us in the alley. Dude. From his window. We stood there like, I bet you can't hit me.
Oh my God. We used to have bottle rocket wars all the time.
Yeah. Shooting them down into the alley and we'd dodge them. That was fun.
My older brothers tortured this one neighbor across the street with my dad's full backing, because my dad hated the guy. And they used to take bottle rockets out of the second floor window.
My dad's full backing.
Oh, yeah, he was way into it.
I approved this battle plan, boys.
He was like, just torture him. Make his life as miserable as you possibly can. And they would blow off fireworks constantly. And they'd go across the street and hit his house, and he had white paneling on the second floor of his house. And it was like brick on the first.
Ash marks everywhere.
All over it. Just
so loud.
Just because even if they already pop, they land there, they fly over, and they just blow all the ash all over. So there was like just shrapnel from mats all over the side. And he came over bitching at my dad. And my dad's like, how do you know they did it? Like,
what a straight face.
They have your initials on the fireworks.
They were leaning out the window going, yeah! That's how I know.
How do you know they did it? You got no proof. Go back home.
His son bought the house and lives there now. And I mean, really? It's like...
Oh, you got to go back.
You got to go back. You got to go back and shoot a couple. You got it. You have to.
And yes, it was only a few months ago that we were talking about a movie called Pig. First time I was like, what, is this what we're doing? I think a second time around, I'd be all in on Pig. As I was all in on Lamb, which is just as weird. There's a lonely couple in Iceland. The one you might recognize is Nubia.
If you stop the description right there,
yeah.
The name of the movie is Lamb, Lonely Couple in Iceland. Don't think I'd watch it.
Terrifying.
And yet, they have a farm. They're sad, and then one of their sheep gives birth to a half-human, half-lamb thing.
What? I'm in.
When we're back in, the head is a lamb and one hoof, and the rest is a little child.
and they look at each other for a minute, and they kind of shrug, and they just start raising the lamb as their own child.
Well, wasn't the wife kind of like, what have you been doing to the goats?
Taking care of business.
Every day. Whoa, Black Betty, half a lamb. Whoa, Black Betty.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's 3 minutes after six at deep, after nine. It's not 6 o'clock again.
It's daylight savings week. Nobody knows what's going on.
Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center.
Severe Weather Center 11.
Ooh, turn on the fireplace. 45 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. I'm Val Porter. The FDA is announcing a recall on some COVID-19 home test kits. The Class 1 recall, which is the most serious type, is due to a high rate of false positives. It affects more than 2 million rapid antigen tests made by Illume, manufactured from February 24th to August 11th. The tests were distributed from April 13th to August 26th. The warning from the FDA says a false positive could lead to a delayed diagnosis or treatment for what is actually causing a person's illness. Those who got a positive result with one of the tests are advised to be retested for coronavirus.
Better a false positive than a false negative.
Yeah.
In this. I got a negative. I guess I can go to that orgy tomorrow. It's trouble.
When you do an at-home test, do you do a lab test still? Is it like a pregnancy test where you don't really trust it completely, so you go to your doctor to get one?
I don't think so, because I think if your at-home test is positive, then you just stay home.
You just assume you're positive.
You stay home until you get symptoms severe enough that you would have to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, I mean, you don't want tests giving you a false positive either. No, they're wise to correct that.
The FBI and Greensburg police are warning residents of scammers using the police station's number to try to steal money. Officials said yesterday scammers use a phone spoofing program to trick caller ID into displaying the police station's phone number. The scammers then convince residents that they are being fined or owe back taxes and need to pay over the phone using gift cards. Police say courts collect fines and no government entity accepts gift cards as payment.
I really hoped that it was someone sneaking into the police station to call people.
And prank calling people.
Yinzo the police. Just come down here with them Taco Bell gift cards.
A majority of Americans think their lives are interesting enough to be a book. A recent survey conducted by One Poll for Thrift Books revealed 55% of respondents believe their lives could be immortalized on the page. However, only 8% actually completed a novel for themselves. 40% of respondents say the main reason for giving up was they couldn't come up with a good ending.
It's like when people come up to me and say, oh, you should hang out with us. You'll get some comedy material out of that. No, one of you is drunk and one's racist. That's not comedy.
Kitty love, they say, is just as powerful as puppy love. That's according to a new study that shows cats are super attached to their owners and mentally track them when they're out of sight. The study shows that felines can draw mental maps that let them find their humans by the sound of their voice alone, even in crowded and unfamiliar settings. Researcher Saho Tagaki telling the New York Post, this is an ability that is the basis of creativity and imagination. Cats have a more profound mind than is believed.
I believe that your cat loves you. I believe that your dog loves you more. However, I also believe that your dog is stupid. Whatever that the cat map drawn. Your dog isn't doing that. Your dog's going to bed and doesn't know if it's been 5 minutes or 6 hours. And then you come back and he's excited. That's it.
Which is the perfect way to be.
I know.
Yeah.
Happy animal.
The kids on Reddit recently got into a big discussion about things you say that officially mean you're old now. According to Reddit discussion, if you said any, not all of them, any of these 10 things, you're old. It's 8:30 at night. It's a little late to start a movie.
Yeah, it depends. You know, if are we talking a 3-hour film? Then that's way too late. You could get a 90-minute one in at 8:30.
I can't go out for dinner. I have chicken in the fridge. I need to cook before it goes bad.
No, I don't do that.
Never said that.
No.
Referring to people in their early 20s as kids.
Every day. I'm into the mid 20s now. There could be someone who's 27. I say, oh, you kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is the music so loud in here? I just said that 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I went to dinner with friends and I'm like, is it just me or is this music super loud?
You can't hear the people at the table.
Right. Yeah, and this was like a restaurant / bar. It wasn't just exclusively a bar. Alcohol makes me sleepy. Mm-hmm. You're at Home Depot and say something like, oh, yeah, that is quality lumber.
I could say that, but I'd be lying. I don't know. It could be wood chips that they glued together. I would not know the difference.
You strap something to your car, then say, yep, that's not going anywhere. I feel like this is the Progressive commercial, lines from the commercial, how that's to true. Teach you not to be mm-hmm. your parents. Oh, babe, check out these New Balance shoes.
What's wrong with New Balance shoes?
I don't know. Apparently, these Reddit kids think that old people wear them.
Comfortable and supportive.
That's a nice box. Keep it.
I have a Mad Mex takeout box in my trunk that's been there for over a year because I got it and thought, I could organize all the trunk stuff in this.
No, thanks. I can't have caffeine this late in the day. I'll never fall asleep. I say that at noon.
I'll go right up to bedtime. Completely numb to it.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding?
Maybe not. You know, I won't take a Diet Coke to the bedroom, but I won't have coffee, but I'll have soda at 8 or 9.
I'm almost envious
with no trouble.
Of that.
Yeah.
Well, I've said at least 5 of those things on that list of 10, so...
Everyone here is old, except maybe Joe, is not news.
Well, being locked up in jail would be awful on multiple levels, but this is probably not something you think about when you think how it would be awful to go to jail. A 33-year-old inmate in Florida named Christopher Callen is facing new charges after he beat his cellmate up last week. He knocked his teeth out, and he did it because the guy wouldn't stop farting in the cell. He broke 2 of his teeth and 1 of his ribs, and when a prison guard asked him why he did it, he said, this guy's just farting too much, and he doesn't courtesy flush either. The inmate he beat up has been recovering in a hospital, and it is not clear what kind of charges that he is facing.
Got to go out to the fart yard for that.
Right.
Separate fart
Drop
room.
Dust out there. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks has appeared in more than 70 films and played so many memorable characters, but like his fans, he has his own personal favorites. He was on the Bill Simmons podcast and was asked to name his top 3. At least one of them may surprise you. It surprised me because I don't remember it. He based his answers on his personal experience he had while doing the movie and not according to the way the movies came out.
He's being diplomatic there.
So very different than how we rank his movies, obviously. He said his top choice, League of Their Own.
There's no crying in baseball.
He said because all he did all summer was play baseball.
Yeah, sounds like a good time.
His second choice, Castaway.
Sure.
He said there was nothing but adventures every single day while they were filming.
Mm-hmm. And no one was around to bother him.
Right. His third choice, a movie I do not remember, Cloud Atlas.
Yeah, that was a little divisive. It was kind of artsy is not the word, but certainly complex sci-fi thing that not everybody got into.
He said he loved filming the entire movie in Germany.
As it happens, last night I was on a show at Arcade Comedy Theater called Bracket Night. It's a very cool show. It's like a funny argument. They get like a March Madness style bracket for a different topic every month, and the audience votes. And last night's subject was Tom Hanks movies.
Oh,
for,
how many
for Hanksgiving?
Do you start with 64?
16.
Okay,
we don't
have
all night.
70 movies,
right?
So
you could get a lot in there,
right?
And the big winner by audience vote was A League of Their Own.
Yep. See, there you go.
Yeah, took the title in a close final over Forrest Gump after ending the Cinderella campaign of That Thing You Do in the semifinals. Toy Story also was in the final 4.
He's just another guy who's great in everything he does.
Yeah. No.
How can you, well, other than this Cloud Atlas movie that people didn't seem to like very much, how can you say, yeah, I hated that Tom Hanks movie?
That's the thing. I mean, there's 16 here, and at one point in the show, they kind of acknowledge some of the stuff that wasn't in this bracket. And we could have easily done another that would have been just as competitive because The Burbs wasn't on this, Splash wasn't on this. And there were some very strong opinions. Castaway, I know the people love it. That lost to Toy Story in the quarterfinals. Tough matchup, Toy Story, Castaway. By the way, the ball, Wilson, just sold at auction for $308,000.
Somebody has too much money.
That's $300,000 more than it should have.
Joining us now, Taylor Tomlinson. She's going to do some shows at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead a week from today. Two shows, 7 and 9:30. Good morning, Taylor. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I actually I just bought the Wilson ball.
Nice. You're doing very well.
Castaway. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it'll come in handy and wasn't an extravagant purchase at all.
Well, I'm here with Sean Collier, and Sean has done stand-up with you.
Taylor, we did a weekend. How are you? We did a weekend with Bert Kreischer at the Pittsburgh Improv a couple years ago. And speaking of movies, my memory of that weekend is you said, what should I go see? And I said, I don't know, Dunkirk is pretty good. And as I recall, you did not enjoy the film. And every time I've seen your name since then, I thought, I shouldn't have sent her to see Dunkirk.
No, here's the thing. It's not that I didn't like it. It's just that it didn't live up to my expectations. I think we all thought that Dunkirk was, like, going to be incredible. I shouldn't speak for all of us. I don't even know who all of us is. But I thought Dunkirk was going to be, like, incredible. And it was, like, visually. But you know when, like, a movie is, like, amazing visually, but it's not your favorite, like, you don't feel anything for the characters as much as you wanted to? That's how I felt about it. I don't know if you agree with this.
I mean, it's 3 years later, and I barely remember that movie, so clearly it didn't stick that much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what's similar that I just watched is Dune. Did you guys watch Dune?
No, I'm not a sci-fi person.
I liked it a lot. It is that way. It's much more about how it looks and sounds than, you know, what's going on or who the people are.
Yeah, I felt like I was watching a really impressive video game where I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks real. This is incredible.
Yeah, it was nice. I'm glad they're making another one. You're the way that you're traveling, though, is this every weekend for you? Is your saying, okay, it's Saturday, it's time for me to go to a movie until showtime?
No, I mean, well, I've been trying to be better about, like, flying in the day before, so I'm not, like, flying all day. I don't know if you've ever tried to get to Cleveland from L.A., but it is not easy. So I've been trying to fly in the day before, so I'm not, like, flying all day from 6 a.m. and then doing two shows at night because we've been lucky enough to add second shows in a lot of these cities. But that was, you know, it's not the plan going into the tour. The plan is, like, you'll do one show a night. But as it is right now, a lot of these cities, I'm doing two shows and then a meet and greet after each show, which is kind of like four shows. So taking two flights and then doing two shows, two meet and greets a night.
I don't
do enough cardio to support my schedule.
So you got started in comedy as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was 16. I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when everyone should be public speaking, when everyone should be sharing their feelings in a confident way in front of hundreds of people.
And you started, you did your comedy at church festivals. I guess your material was a little bit different then.
I love having to explain my origin story because it's always like a different combination of words. People are, because they're like, okay, so you did church festivals? So you did basement clubs? you did coffee meetings? What did you do? And it really, when you're 16, 17, you're not allowed in any comedy club.
Right.
Unless you're like Dave Chappelle or whatever, and I wasn't a genius, and I grew up very sheltered. So I started doing, like, churches and, you know, hotel bars, like
ballrooms
that like had a comic. Yeah, exactly. And like coffee shops. And, you know, I did like school fundraisers, I remember, when I was still in high school. Like just like weird stuff here and there. But like, yeah, there's a huge like comedy church circuit, which is people find very surprising.
You, your Netflix special, Quarter Life Crisis, you talk a lot about your very religious upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Which
And you know what? Still talking about it. In the new hour. Lot to unpack, as it turns out.
Do you feel like comedy is a little bit like therapy?
I mean, I do. You know what, though? I've been using it as therapy probably more than I should have for years. And then when I actually started going to therapy consistently, I remember my therapist at one point was like, maybe just keep this part in here for us. Maybe don't do jokes about this part. And I was like, oh, this is like the last stop for me on trying to fix this issue. I'm like, I already have like 5 minutes about this one event that we're trying to heal. Like, what are you talking about? Keep this for us. I'm like, you're the only person who doesn't know this. You are the last to find out.
Well, and this, the past few years have been such, you know, an ascent for you. You know, this weekend we're talking about, of course, you were already very successful, already hilarious, but featuring for Bert, and, you know, then very quickly we watched you go to You're the One touring and headlining to getting a Netflix special, going from clubs to theaters. How has it changed for you, you know, in really just a couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time I featured for Bert, or really anyone, was like 5 or 6 years ago, I want to say. But yeah, it's funny. It feels very fast, and it is very fast. But at the same time, I'm like, I started when I was 16. Like, I'm 28 now. I have been doing this a while. But even so, you know, you know, guys who don't get to do theaters, a lot of people don't get to do, most people don't get to do theaters at my age. I've been very, very lucky that I've been able to get to the level I'm at. And, you know, I was very lucky that a Netflix special came out right before lockdown, as my agent kept pointing out to me during quarantine. It was like, it's a great time to have a special right now because people are just watching anything. They are taking a chance on stuff they would never even think to. So it's a great time for your comedy special to be out when everybody's literally trapped indoors with limited options. I'm like, oh, I hope I would have been successful without a global emergency, but yes, that's okay. That's all right. I'll take it, because it probably did help. It probably did help. And it really has been like a very stark, like, before and after that special came out and the pandemic. Like, I came back on the road after lockdown, and it was like so different. It was like, oh, you maybe sold out like one show a weekend before, maybe. And now it's like every club weekend sold out, and you're adding shows, and you can do a theater tour, which you're not always sure you can after a special.
Quarter Life Crisis is the name of the Netflix special, and it's awesome. Well, I wanted to ask you, do people in your life, family, friends, should they just, or for any comic, should they just assume, I'm in your life, I'm potential material?
Probably. I mean, it's definitely, if you're dating a comedian, not just me, but any comedian, I'm dating a comedian. And you kind of just have to accept that that's part of it. But for me, dating another comic has been helpful, because sometimes I'm like, I don't want to joke about that. And then I'm like, oh, this is how everybody feels dating me for years, probably. Where they're like, oh, okay, that fight's just a joke now. You just turned our fight into money. Thank you so much.
Taylor Tomlinson, two shows at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead, week from today, 7 and 9:30. Get your tickets. There are a few left, so they'll sell out quick. TTomComedy.com is where you get your tickets. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
We'll see you next Friday. Mike Pursuta up next with sports. Big wins in overtime for, well, not overtime. It was a shootout for the Pens, but overtime for Pitt. He's got details on that. And Steelers game Sunday, 1 o'clock against Detroit. It's thisis.com.
DVE Sports.
I'm Mike Pursuta for DVE Sports, brought to you by your neighborhood Ford store. The Miami Dolphins might have done the Steelers a couple of favors last night. They beat the Ravens 22-10 on Thursday night football. That knocks Baltimore down to 6-3, and that is the record the Steelers can achieve if they're able to beat the winless Detroit Lions on Sunday at Heinz Field. But not only did Miami assist the Steelers as it relates to the AFC North Division standings, the Dolphins may have given the Steelers a few pointers as to how to befuddle the Ravens. Did you watch any of the Ravens game last night? And if you did you notice anything Miami did that might be worth borrowing?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. They bring a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? They're rushing, especially on situational ball. They're rushing a lot of guys. And just letting the four DBs cover the five DBs cover the five eligibles, and they rushed everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes they brought extra people, and I think that just kept Lamar in the pocket and put a lot of pressure on him. So it's something that we could definitely use.
Yeah, that was Steelers safety Minkah Fitzpatrick right here on the DVE Morning Show today talking about Miami blitzing Lamar Jackson, and boy, did it work. Baltimore was 2 of 14 on third down. The 10 points scored, the fewest Baltimore has ever managed in Lamar Jackson's 46 career starts. Blitz, 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 and what they call zero coverage. No safety back playing center field, as Fitzpatrick often does. One-on-one coverage with the eligibles and everybody else gets after the quarterback, and Lamar Jackson didn't seem to like it very much. Even Justin Tucker missed a field goal last night. 48-yarder. That's a ship shot for him. It can happen, and it does happen in the NFL. Steelers got to make sure it doesn't happen again on Sunday against the winless Lions. It won't if the defense can avoid giving up the periodic big plays that have kind of stained the resume of late. Inside linebacker Joe Schobert said the defense is close to being the dominating unit it intends to be, but it's got to cut down on the popcorn.
I think we're playing well, but we just have to execute full 60 minutes better. There's just a couple times throughout the game at various spots on the defense, the linebackers and the defensive backs, where there's just like Coach G says, a popcorn mistake. Like, it's a my bad, popcorn my bad, where one guy just has a brain fart on one play. And that allows a big play for the other team. We just have to focus on eliminating those. Everybody has to stay locked in and focused for the whole 60 minutes.
Yeah, that can be annoying, and that leads to the obvious follow-up question. How do you fix a brain fart?
I think just coming to work throughout the week and understanding, like, we're going through the same meetings, the same practice we do every week, and we can't let it get monotonous and repetitive. We got to come and learn and execute it in practice and be able to take it to the game on Sundays.
That was kind of interesting. As it compared to our interview with Minkah Fitzpatrick today, he mentioned too, you can't get lulled to sleep. You know, sometimes you think you got it covered.
It's dangerous.
You think it's working, and then they surprise you with something. Don't let it get monotonous. Don't let it get repetitive. On the details at all times, and then execute on Sunday. Steelers and the Detroit Lions, the winless Detroit Lions, on Sunday at Heinz Field. Huge win for Pitt last night. 30-23 in overtime over North Carolina. It was billed as a showdown between future NFL quarterbacks Kenny Pickett of Pitt and Sam Howell of Carolina, but it ended up being won by the Pitt defense, just as head coach Pat Narduzzi figured it would.
What do you say? I mean, I talked to our defense today. We had a 30-minute meeting over in the Drats, and after base got done, I just said, listen, everybody's talking about offense. you know, you win championships with defense, and that was a championship effort today by our defense. 3 fourth down stops. You know, we turned the ball over late, and we, you know, forced them to a field goal. You know, there was talk about letting them score, and, you know, we'd go down and score. I was like, I can't do that. We, you know, we're going to stop them here. You know, when they got it down, I think the one. But, you know, just some incredible efforts by a bunch of guys. MJ Devonshire with the finishing touch, and I think Cabo put some pressure on the quarterback at that time. But our kids were fresh. That was part of the plan. You know, we didn't practice much this week. We had to keep them fresh, and I got that from Coach Tomlin, so I appreciate Coach Tomlin and just talking with him how they deal with it in the NFL. It's nice to have neighbors like that.
Yeah, nice to have an NFL team sharing your practice facility down there at the UPMC
Rooney. You get the good stuff.
Rooney Sports Complex on the south side. Steelers play on Thursdays with regularity. Pitt does not, so Pat Narduzzi getting a little clue as to how to handle the dreaded short week and that defensive effort. He didn't mention the 5 sacks of Sam Howell, Carolina's outstanding quarterback, and the sequence of the game, Carolina reaching the Pitt 2-yard line, first and goal, trailing by 3 with 1:13 left, and Pitt ends up holding Carolina to a field goal, which sent the game to overtime, and then the Panthers, who had been shut out in the second half, manage another touchdown in overtime. Carolina gets intercepted, and that is your ball game. Pitt improves to 8-2 overall, 5-1 in the ACC. The Panthers continue to lead the Coastal Division of the ACC. They're 5-1 there. Virginia is 4-2 and headed to Heinz Field on November the 20th. Miami also a factor at 3-2. So a big win for Pitt. Maybe on the way to even bigger and better things. And a historic night for quarterback Kenny Pickett. His 346 passing yards surpasses Alex Van Pelt. Pickett is now Pitt's all-time passing leader at 11,501 wow. yards. Van Pelt had 11,267 from 1989 to 92. It's Pickett's 15th 300-yard passing game. That surpasses Van Pelt's 14. 3 more touchdown passes. Pickett now has 32 of those on the season. The Pitt record is 37. That was set by Dan Marino in 1981 and equaled by Rod Rutherford in 2003. And 71 career TD passes for Pickett. He is chasing Dan Marino's school record 79 from 1979 to 82. Kenny Pickett rewriting the Pitt record book, and the Panthers continuing to stalk an ACC championship. Penguins finally got it right in a shootout last night, 3-2 over Florida. The Penguins had been 0-3 in shootouts, and goaltender Tristan Jarry had struggled in those, but not last night. Jarry stopping 3 of 4 attempts, and the Penguins getting goals from Brian Rust and Jeff Carter in the skills contest that decided the game. Penguins have played 4 straight overtime games for the first time since 2014. They're 2-0-2 in those. So pretty good night last night, Val, and hopefully leads to a pretty good weekend.
Let's hope. Keep the winning going.
At sports.
1 o'clock is when the game is on Sunday, 9 a.m. pregame here on DVE with Tim Benz, Rob King, and Dale Lawley. 11 a.m., Mike Pursuta with Jerry Dulac and Bob Labriola from Heinz Field. Bill Hillgrove, Craig Wolfley, Missy Matthews, and Max Starks take over for kickoff at 1 o'clock. And then postgame, we got you covered with Stan and Charlie Batch. DVE coverage, 9 a.m. for the Steelers' 1 o'clock game against the Detroit Lions at Heinz Field. It's all here on now. It's the DVE Morning Show. I'm Val Porter. Randy and Bill had a couple days off. Sean Collier with us now. Mike Pursuta, as we do every, I won't say every Friday, because sometimes it's on Monday, because we have sometimes Monday games. But we traditionally do it on Friday before Steelers games. Do we call this your preamble?
The monologue.
The
open, that's it. Whatever you like.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, this is nice.
Mike Tomlin maintains there are no homecoming games in the NFL, no FCS preordained blowouts, no layups against an obviously overmatched double directional, no toying with little brother down the road. But if there were, Detroit would qualify as all of the above, as the type of team Power 5 behemoths long to host in front of big money donors. It's been since December the 29th, 1957, that Detroit last won an NFL championship. Since January the 5th, 1992, that the Lions last won a playoff game. And since December the 6th, 2020, that they've won a game, period. The losing streak since then has reached 12 in succession, including 8 in a row since September. In response, the 2008 Lions request someone to hold their 0-16 beers. The Lions may have been rebuilding since 1957, but the current edition isn't the worst the Motor City has seen since then, at least not yet. The Steelers, conversely, aren't exactly Alabama either. They've won 4 in a row after a 1-3 start, but extending the run on Monday night required a beat-the-clock, come-from-behind effort in a game they'd once led by 14 points. Twice! The standings may say contender, but the tape maintains these Steelers aren't all the NFL's second-longest active winning streak suggests. They definitely aren't all they intend to become eventually. If they sleep on the Lions anyway, it's on them. As the Bears reminded a national audience on Monday night, the NFL includes no guarantees. Are you ready for some football? The Lions remain a Thanksgiving Day institution, and they've been competitive at times this season, if not victorious, so cancel that homecoming parade. But by all means, win the game. Accomplish that, and you can slap another bumper sticker on the Oldsmobile, buy another sweatshirt, one that actually fits as opposed to the one that you wore 25 years ago as a sophomore, and even attend the homecoming dance if so inclined. But before any and all of that, the Steelers have to tame the Lions. It won't be nearly enough to simply give it the old college try.
Woohoo! Nice.
Very nice.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Detroit Lions, 1 o'clock Sunday at Heinz Field. That's it.
I just want to point out that I wanted a music that implied the college-type type of atmosphere. And after long deliberation, I chose the Michigan State fight song.
Oh, wow. So. Was that about a second?
Perfect fit, right?
That's going to do it for us this morning. Thank you, Sean Collier.
Hey, listen to the podcast. It's called The Number One Movie in America. Get it wherever you find your podcasts, including the iHeartRadio app. Every week, a past box office topping movie. We break it down. You can go on there now and hear our spooky season specials. We've got one on the Star Wars prequels coming out this week. So, you know, we make fun of a movie a lot. And we're coming up on our 100th episode in a couple of weeks here. So subscribe now to the number one movie in America.
Micah Fitzpatrick joined us this morning. Thanks to him and Taylor Tomlinson as well. Two shows at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead a week from tonight. Get tickets at ttomcomedy.com. That's it for us. Oh, wait, do we got to play the polka or no polka? Is that bad luck? Did we lose when we played the polka?
We did. I don't know that it's been played lately.
Let's not play it then.
Yeah,
let's stick with the winning streak.
Let's let sleeping polkas lie.
Joe got a fearful look in his eyes when I said that. He was like, oh no.
The only station in the country that ever says, do we have to play that polka? This is the last one.
There got to be one somewhere that plays polkas.
Wisconsin, probably.
Michelle Michaels is up next. She's got the electric lunch at noon here on DVE.
I'm finished. You stay classy, Pittsburgh.
Don't touch your face.
I got him dead, Pittsburgh, all day, baby.
From now on, you got to call me Ronald.
Would you not eat my pants?
Ronald.
Ah! You always say, into the ride.
Have a great Friday, you mother.